habitual inclination to laziness or disinclination to exertion. It subverts the livelihood of the body, taking no care for its day-to-day provisions, but slows down the mind, halting its attention to matters of great importance. A mind state that gives rise to boredom, resentfulness, and apathy. Being comfortable will get you nowhere.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing out there? Come on, y'all. Got a few more zebra cakes, son. He threw out strawberries, those zebra cakes. Come on, man, right here. Watch your eyes. Make sure you catch it. Hey, here's the awesome part about today. I'm covering two things today, sloth and gluttony. So, yeah, enjoy that little Debbie cake. All right. Also, I just want you to know that I apologize if you saw the pre-show, because I'm telling you, that will never happen again, but you got to go back and see it, because you voted and you put me in an outfit I never thought I'd wear, but it was a lot of fun. So thanks for participating, for all of our friends online. Charles in Minnesota, good morning to you as well. All of these friends are watching, whether that's Dallas or Minnesota or Kansas City, Hawaii. There's so many people now watching online, and now these beautiful people in the room turn to somebody and say, Happy Halloween. Give them a little love. Come on, give them a little love. Yeah, now I know what some of you are thinking. Like, man, back in the day when you grew up in church, man, you avoided Halloween. But here today, I got great news for you. There is going to be a lot of fun for kids. Kids are upstairs right now in the regular program. As soon as the service is over, go get your kids and then take them next door. They got glow room. They got candy. They got ice cream. It's a perfect gluttony day. All right, so go and enjoy that. But let's get right into today's message. Every week I've been talking about the seven deadly sins, and to be honest, I have been very transparent that I have struggled with all of them, whether that was anger or pride or envy. I'm guilty in all areas, and I'm asking Christ to work with me and help me. And more than likely, you can say, I can relate, Justin. You're not there either. Well, on these that I'm covering today, I thought, well, maybe I'll get a little pass today. But the way that we define them today, the way that we look at them, I don't think any of us will get a pass when it comes to the two that we're covering today. When you think about sloth or laziness, this is typically what you think of right here. This is the, look at that cute thing right there, huh? Now, if you grew up watching movies with your kids or your grandkids, there is a sloth scene in a movie, a Zootopia, that is one of my favorites of all time. And if you're an adult who that has ever gone to the DMV, I think you'll relate. Watch.
Are you saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast?
Flash, flash, 100-yard dash.
Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Officer Judy Happ, CPD, how are you?
I am doing
fine.
Well, what?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a
play. For you.
Well, I was hoping you
today.
Could. Well, I was hoping you could run a plate for us. We are in a really big hurry.
What's the plate?
29T...
Number.
29THD03.
29T...
HD03.
H...
D03.
D.
Mm-hmm.
03.
03.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
Okay. What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know.
Pregnant.
Yes, very funny, very funny. Can we please just focus on the time?
Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no!
Yes? Flash?
What do
no.
you call
a three-humped camel pregnant? Okay, great, we got it. Please jump. Hurry, we gotta beat the rush hour in. It's night!
Come on, y'all, give it up for Zootopia. Now, why do I show that clip? Because everybody in here can relate to some degree or another. For example, me, your pastor, I am not slothfully lazy. I am selectively lazy. Can I get an amen on that? Yeah, all of you understand. And matter of fact, in the UK, not in just America, in the UK, they did a little survey on asking people to evaluate their laziness. For example, here's some of their questions. I'll put some images on the screen for you. How many times do you have takeaway food in a month? Now, just think about that. That is one description of, I'm not going to cook anything. I'm not going to clean anything. I'm going to go pick it up and bring it home. Anybody guilty? Go ahead. You know. All right. Number two, here's another one that they got you on. How much time do you spend walking a day? Now, if you're at Simple Church, the good news is many of you go too far when I park here, but I'm trying to help you with laziness and slothfulness. But in general, we don't walk very much. I mean, it's very, you know, limited in our lifestyle. And you're not alone on that. Here's another thing that they asked. How many times do you brush your teeth on an average day? I hope to goodness and the Lord Almighty that you brushed them before you came here. But you have to understand there are some people that go, I don't really brush my teeth that much. And I'm like, oh my goodness. But that is one form as well. It's a little bit lazy when it comes to your hygiene or what it may be. In the end, they came up with this little ending, little survey, recap of what happens. And it gives you an idea of, on a scale of 1 to 10, how lazy are you? Now, you can't really participate in this. I did find it online because it's in the UK and it doesn't really apply to us. But it made me think about things in my life. I picked the ones that we do kind of relate to. Many of us work hard. Many of us, you know, are busy. But you have to try to decide, where am I lazy? Or am I lazy in any area at all? So many people in our home, for example, they're asking, where is my school uniform? And then what do we say? Check the couch, right? That's what happens. It's like it's somewhere in there because we washed it, but we may have not put it away. Other times it's like, did the kids mow the lawn? You know, let's be honest. That's why we have kids, to get them to mow the lawn. Can I get an amen on that? Selectively lazy, because you're like, well, I'm not going to mow the lawn. I'm not going to fold clothes today. I don't really know where that is. And then for many people watching at home online today, here is the cup that we just created for you. It is, you're officially a member of Bedtime Baptist. Bedside Baptist. Come on, right there. Give them a little love. And people are like, oh, don't clap for them. No, the truth is, we know, we're excited the fact that some people decide to watch, whether they are at home or around the globe, and the only place that you can watch is in the comfort of your home. So we're just glad that you're here. As a matter of fact, when we started all of the, you know, online stuff during the COVID, we actually had a little pajama thing going on, Sunday Selfie Challenge Pajamas Edition, so you could take a picture. So if you happen to be at home and you are watching online, go ahead and take a picture and send it in. If you're in a costume, if you're laying around, man, if you're cooking breakfast, put it on our social media so that people know that you're not alone in that. Because in our culture, that is now part of our lifestyle. I would go to church, but man, I'm feeling a little tired. I think I'm just going to watch online today. All of us can relate. I was going to mow the yard, but that's why I had kids. I was going to fold the clothes. I was going to put them up, but man, they're on the couch. We all battle this part of our life. And if we're all honest, when you think of laziness, you don't really feel like you're guilty, because many of us are so busy that we feel worn out. And very few people that you look at or you watch appear lazy because their schedules are packed. Many of you right now, the reason that you watch online is because you're taking kids to baseball, you're taking kids to soccer, you're out of town. So we get it. We know that in our culture, this is a big part of our lives. We're running, we're busy, we're going here, we're going there. I don't have time to do this or to do that. And some of us even say, this is not my sin. I don't even know why we're going to have to cover this today. Well, upon further research, as I typically do, I've got a new definition of lazy. And as I walk through this new definition of lazy, I think it will apply to all of us. A way to look at it a little bit differently. You ready? Hang on. Take your pens out. If you got the app, download the app. Make sure you have it so that you can remember it. When comfort wins over effort and I fail to do the right thing. This is now a new look at lazy. When you are so comfortable that your comfort will win over your effort to do something about whatever it may see in front of you, maybe to do the right thing. I brought this up to my life group this past week, and as we were talking about it, one of the guys in the group said, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, I'm not really worried about being sloth or lazy, because this guy works hard. He works all day. He even has a second job. But he said, man, that definition gets me, because Driving home the other day, I saw a lady with a flat tire. And I was tired. I had been working all day. I saw her struggling with the tire. And I looked, and God spoke to me and said, "Hey, man, you probably need to help this lady." And he said, it lasted for about 10 seconds. Said, "Nope, I'm tired. I'm going to the house." And drove on by. When your comfort wins over your effort and you fail to do the right thing, it's selectively lazy. I'll give you another example. When you know you need to talk to your spouse, y'all been having trouble. You know you need to talk to your kids because you're trying to work through some things. But you decide to go mow the grass or you decide to work late. Because you're going, "Man, I just don't really want to talk about that right now. I really don't want to deal with that." So you put off, and so your comfort wins over what you know you need to do. I'll give you another example. This one's a little bit tougher to digest, and that is when you know that God's calling you to serve in the church, to get involved. You need to help with kids, or you need to do greeters, or you need to work in the cafe. You need to get involved, and then you go, "Oh, I don't know if I really need to. I think I'll clean the litter box. I'm not sure that I can be there on that Sunday." Because we all struggle with it. This is the reality for all of us. When there's something that really needs to be done that's tough, but yet you find some other thing that needs to be done more. Isn't it amazing how many other things just have to be done? They have to get done when something else is pressing you. I know this because as a dad, as a pastor, as someone who's busy, we've had kids in soccer, we've had kids in band, we've had kids doing all these different things, and so we're running and schedules and busy, and I mean, there's funerals this past week and weddings this week and all of this stuff that needs to get done. And so many times in that whole process, many times you can go, "Man, I just don't know that I really have time to work on something that's maybe the most important thing at that moment." You know, I love to use video clips like we did before, Zootopia, but this next clip is not so funny. This next clip is actually kind of heart-tugging. And it's from a movie that you wouldn't think would be that way. It's Adam Sandler in the movie called Click. And the whole premise of this movie is simple. He is so busy that he wishes he had a remote control so that he could control other people and control his life. And so the concept of the movie is he gets this magical remote. And the reason he's doing this is kind of like the old Scrooge thing. He's coming back and he's looking at his life. And he's rewinding, he's looking at things, he's pausing, because in the midst of all of the busyness, of all the things that are going on, you get to this point where all of a sudden your comfort is winning over your effort, and you find yourself failing to do the right thing over and over and over again. And man, if we could just rewind and play that over, if we could just do that differently, this is what you'll see in Adam Sandler's little story here. And as we go through, I think you'll understand his regret. And I think you'll understand and maybe even be able to relate to what he's going through. Watch this.
"Hey, Dad. Sorry to bug you. Would you mind looking at my my shopping mall design again? This one is cheaper. But if you check this out, you'll see it has a much better natural flow.
Cheaper one. Like I said, just let me do my email."
Yeah, you're right, Dad.
He ain't right. You're a schmuck. Better. Look at it.
Surprise.
Hey, Grandpa.
Oh, my God. When did you get so handsome? So, Michael, I had a wonderful idea. Your mother's playing canasta with her friends tonight. I thought, oh, what a great opportunity. You, me, and Ben should go and have a boys' night out.
Can't.
What do you mean you can't? You have to eat sometime. We could go, we could whistle at pretty girls."
"I'm down for that."
"See, he's down. I don't know what it means, but he's down."
"Hey, please.
Don't give me that finger." "I'll make you a deal. If you come, I'll show you the quarter trick."
"Will you look at the man?"
"I'll tell you the secret."
"No, Dad.
Don't you want to know
how you do the stupid trick? I've always known. Can you let me do my work?"
"You've always known. You're pathetic." "I'm so sorry I barged in. I love you, son."
"See you later, Grandpa. I love you."
"Dad."
"Bob.
Bob.
I love you too, Dad. I'll miss you.
It's kind of heavy. The reason I pulled the clip is because I think all of us in this room, depending on our age, circumstance, stage of life, we can go, man, I should have done that better. Should have put a little more effort in that area. So when you look at the simple church and you're trying to figure us out, it's one of the reasons we will give up a service for you to sit and listen to a message and give you that time back to spend with your kids so that you don't have something else to do. You get that hour back, that hour and a half, and you go, now let's go play. Let's spend this time together and laugh a little bit and create some memories. That's why we're not mad, seriously, if you've gone to soccer practice or baseball practice and, man, you are a little tired. And now you're tuning in online and you're feeling a little guilty. Let me just tell you, I'm thankful that you're watching and I'm thankful that you're spending time with your kids. And the truth is as we're trying to navigate this crazy culture that we live in, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful to understand what is most important and not to be lazy in the things that are most important. And relationships are always the most important. Broke this little statement out because as I watched it and as I've walked through this message myself and I look back with regret on some things in the way that I didn't spend time with my kids as much as I could have or didn't spend as much time with my dad or whatever it may be, I start reflecting on all of these things and going, man, I don't want to be lazy in what's most important. And I also don't want to run away from the things that are the most difficult to have to manage. It's easy sometimes to get caught up in work and go into email, but it's more difficult to have the conversation with your wife or to go by and see your mom who's in the nursing home. See, those things are difficult. Although you know it's the right thing, you get lazy and go, I don't know if I'm really going to do that. I got more work to do. So I wrote this down. Don't run from the difficult things. Discipline yourself to do the uncomfortable. See, this is the whole idea, is that as life gets challenging, and as things get busy, you have a tendency to run away from the things that are the most difficult. And then we don't discipline ourselves to really do what is uncomfortable. And because we lack the discipline, it destroys the relationships we have with people, and yes, even with God. Proverbs says it like this. Proverbs 12, if you want to reign in life, if you want to win in life, if you want to be at the top in life, don't sit on your hands. Instead, work hard at your email. Now, work hard at making more money. No. Instead, work hard at doing what's right. See, this is the challenge. We all have things that we're working hard at, but is it the right thing? Is it the thing that God gets honor out of? Is it the thing that helps you in your relationships with other people? Because when I evaluate my life, I've got habits. I think we all have habits, don't we? And in those habits, we have good and bad. I don't have to list the bad habits. I think everybody can kind of get the idea of some of the bad habits we have, little Debbie. But I'm moving on. But I want to help you with some good habits you could develop. I want to help you with some discipline that if you will discipline yourself to do this, and it is a little uncomfortable at first, as you walk through this, you will see that it helps you not only have a better relationship with God, it'll help you with have a better relationship with people. You go, well, what is that, Justin? Well, it's pretty easy. It's all on the word habit, so you can write it down. Remember, download the app. All the notes are there. You don't even have to remember. You can look it up later. But the H is a reminder to hang with God, to make this a little bit more applicable to the old people, your prayer life. I created it when I was a student pastor because back in the day, Doug Fields, good friend of mine, we had these things called habits. And as I reflected on what I disciplined myself to do and sometimes what I'm lazy to do, many times, this is what gets put off. So I even asked my life group. I was like, how's y'all's prayer life? And some of them are like, man, mine's pretty good. Others are like, man, I'm working on it. So let me ask you, how much time do you spend a day in prayer? How much time do you really put aside? Not get busy going to do this, getting your hair done. I got to go to work. I got to get this done. No, but you get alone and just sit with God for a minute. Now, some of you go, man, to be honest, Justin, I don't even know how to do that. I didn't grow up in church. And it doesn't make sense to me. Well, I got good news for you. I even put this little acronym on the screen for you as well, because this is a pray model of how you can even develop that habit. You go, Justin, what does it look like? Well, it just goes through spending time praising God, recognizing what he has given you, asking for forgiveness, and then your request. It's just a little model on learning how to spend time with God. So if you've never prayed before, we have this online. I'll even put more information online after this so that you can download it. I'll put it in the notes so that you can grab a hold of this discipline, even though it may be uncomfortable, but you know it's important, and say, okay, I'm going to begin to develop this habit. The second thing I want you to do is evaluate your accountability in your life. So for your kids in here, teenagers in here, and yes, even you adults, who is in your life and how much time do you spend in an accountable relationship? For us, we do it in life groups. So when we walk over into the hall too, Amber will be over there. She'll be working the Little Debbie cakewalk. Can I get an amen on that? If you want to know about how to get in a life group, if you want to know why this is important, is because as you walk through this, you will realize, and this pastor is in a life group. I got a group of guys that I meet with every week, walking through, holding each other accountable, and then praying for each other. Spent time praying this past week. We spent time holding each other accountable on different issues, walking through, going, man, where are you on this? How could you do better? What do you need to be working on? And when you say, well, I don't really have time for that, once again, what are you filling your time with? We get lazy on the things that are important. We get lazy on the things that really do help you. But when it's uncomfortable, many times we push that off. What's the B stand for, Justin? Bible. How much time do you spend reading the Bible? How much time do you spend studying the Bible? How much time do you spend memorizing the Bible? We all joked in our life group this past week, not enough. Because the truth is, we don't. Everybody, they may look at the scriptures I put on screen. They may talk about these things. But they don't go back often and look at the notes. But it's one way you can do it. I'll give you another way. You can download not just our app, The Simple Church, which I'll put that on the screen for you, because all the notes are there. So you can go back and look at the scripture and refresh your memory. You can find all that. But you can also download something called the YouVersion. And it is YouVersion, YouVersion. It is the Bible on your phone. Never before in the history of the world can you carry all translations right here. Never before can you have a little bit of a discipline if you wake up and look at it. It even has reading plans. So does our app. So if you go to the Bible and you see there's reading plans, you can begin to develop that discipline of going, you know what? I need to put a little more time into the Bible, understanding it, applying it to where I'm at. What's the I stand for, Justin? Involved in church. This is why I'm so thankful you're here today. You got a good full room today. We've been wondering where everybody's at, so it's glad to have some of you back on this day. I know still many of you are watching online. We're just glad to have you because we know that a good habit is being involved, finding something to do. So you can attend, yes, but then also volunteer, find some way to get involved. And then think about this. How many times a month is it a priority to get your kids up and let them have that discipline? Well, it's not as important. They don't really watch online anymore. We're trying to work through it. This is an important encouragement to all of us. Let's don't get lazy on what's most important. Because in the end, it's an investment back into their life. So maybe, just maybe, if you start volunteering, which again, Christy will be over there today when you walk in. We need help in the kids area. If you want to get involved in that, Christy will be right there as soon as you walk in. There's going to be an SK table, Simple Kids table. You can volunteer and go, man, this is my chance. I want to start getting involved. But what do we say? I don't know if I got time for all that, and we don't discipline ourselves for that, so we get a little lazy in the things that are important. I can relate, but maybe today is your chance to change that. Maybe today you go, you know what, we need to turn that around a little bit. Let's try to come twice a month, and let's try to volunteer at least once a month, and you'll be surprised at the new disciplines, the new excitement, the new joy that you get on when you start doing that. 100% guaranteed, when you give something to God, he always gives something back to you. I'm a witness of that. Speaking of giving, how about the T? That's the tithing. We don't ever talk about tithing in Simple Church. We don't ever talk about giving in Simple Church. And one of the reasons why, if you've never really understood that, I will explain that. Because when I grew up, everybody that came to church that was an outsider, that we didn't grow up in church, they were going, all that church cares is about is the money. So typically on Sunday morning, I don't really even mention it. But I am today, but for this one reason. Because when you develop that habit of anything, giving something, anything regularly, you'll be surprised at what God does back in your life. I want to give you a little prize and a little encouragement. Last week, in the last couple of weeks, I asked you to bring candy for all of the Shreveport policemen and firemen, and you did an amazing job at doing something that simple. And guess what? We blessed the community. We blessed Common Ground. So can you give yourselves a little applause for making sure that happened? Because that costs something. And so many people don't think it matters. It all matters. And when you give, you'll be surprised at how God gives back to you as well. The S. What's the S about, Justin? Solving problems. That's why I brought up Common Ground and the police department and everything else, because in the simple church, what we have found is if you will develop that habit to not think about just what happens on the inside, but what happens on the outside, God will do something in your life. Name the last problem that you solved. Name the last problem that you're like, man, I was a part of that. If you brought candy, let me tell you something, you did it, because the police department, the fire department asked us to do that. Common Ground asked us to do that, and you made it happen. And you go, well, Justin, what difference does it make? James 4, chapter 17, verse 17, excuse me. So if you know of an opportunity to do the right thing today, remember how I just said this idea of like, hey, I got to do the right thing? So if you know of the opportunity to do that, but yet you refrain from doing it, guess what? You're guilty of sin. So here we go again. What is God telling you? What is he trying to reveal to you? Well, he's saying, hey, listen, when you see the need, and he's challenging you, and he's asking you, hey, man, develop the habit of spending time with me. I ain't got time to do that. You know, when you see someone in need in the community, you go, man, I don't want to do that. I don't see the tire being changed. I don't need to help the people in Common Ground or police departments. And then all of these things are going on our head. The next thing you know, we find ourselves very undisciplined. And then as a result, man, we're looking for the purpose in life. Like, what is going on, God? Why am I here? And he's going, hey, this is the challenge. If you're a believer, when you see something that needs to be done, when you know there's an opportunity to do the right thing, whether that's spending time with God, whether that's giving something, whether it's helping someone, whether it's serving in the church, and you don't do it, it's like, ah. And what do we say at the beginning of the series when it comes to sin? It begins to destroy us. Now, here's the good news. We also have a God who says, hey, it ain't over. You got an opportunity today to begin to turn your life around, to begin to develop some new habits, to begin to put away laziness and say, I'm going to start working for the right thing in my relationship with God and my relationships with people. Now, I pulled a clip for you to once again help you understand it and illustrate it a little bit clearer. Many times when you talk about solving problems, this is a classic video clip of someone who was so determined, really not lazy at all, really so determined that he said, I will get totally uncomfortable, because he knew the value of the relationship. When I saw this video, I'm like, would I do that? I hope that I would. I hope that I would be that disciplined. I hope that I'd be that loving. I hope that I'd be that caring. But God, help me to follow the example of this man, because you won't find anything sweeter than this. And trust me, it's the opposite of lazy. Watch.
Are you ready?
One way or another, Larry Swilling knew his wife, Jimmy Sue, would eventually be hospitalized with a failing kidney. He knew he'd have tears. Only thing he didn't know was whether they'd be happy or sad. When we first met Larry a year ago, he was desperately trying to rewrite his wife's final chapter.
I'm gonna get you a kidney.
Since she needed a kidney and he had no shame on the matter,
I don't care what people think,
Larry set out to find an organ donor on his own.
I sure could use your kidney.
Never mind that most people won't give panhandlers their pocket change, let alone their vital organs.
I need a kidney.
Larry, at the age of 77, started walking all over his hometown of Anderson, South Carolina, basically begging for a kidney.
I had to do something. She'd lose that to me. And I look after her.
After 57 years of marriage,
we've been together so long.
Their love is so palpable, it practically melts you in your seat. Which is probably why, after our first story aired, thousands of people called to offer their kidneys.
There's a mighty bunch of good people out there who's wanting to help.
More than 100 of that mighty bunch went through the testing to see if they were a match. And would you believe?
Well, how are you doing?
One was.
Oh, my goodness.
After a full year of searching, this week, Larry Swilling finally met his miracle. She's a 41-year-old retired Navy lieutenant commander named Kelly Weaverling.
Have you ever just had a feeling that was just such a strong gut feeling that you just went with your instinct because you just knew it was right?
That's what happened.
That's exactly what happened. I could do something to give this family hope.
The surgery was Wednesday morning, and by Wednesday afternoon, Larry was accosting doctors.
You mind?
Absolutely.
Everything went perfectly.
I love you.
Now Larry says he has two new missions, to find other donors for other people, and to find a way to properly thank the woman who gave him his wife back.
There's not enough words.
Larry's struggling for a way to thank you.
Just take care of your wife. Just take care of her.
Doubt that'll be a problem.
Oh, I'm fine now.
Steve Hartman, on the road in Charleston, South Carolina.
I love you too, baby.
Come on, y'all. Associate pastor comes through again. It is a beautiful picture of not being lazy. It's a beautiful picture of sacrificing, of being disciplined for something that you care about. And this is the challenge for all of us. If you think about it, the world is looking for people that are reflecting what Christ has done for us. And this man has done it. He was like, I will sacrifice, I will give, I will not just tell you that I love you, I will show you that. And they said his age didn't matter. Worry about what people thought didn't matter. Putting it on, I'm going out there. And miraculously, it happened. And then he said, I'm struggling with a way to show her that I really love her, that I'm thankful for what she's done. And she's like, no, just keep loving your wife. In the same way, that's what God would say to us. He says, look, I've laid my life down for you. I have sacrificed everything I can for you to give you a new life, a fresh start, a new beginning. And so what I'm asking in return, how can we show him love? By developing good spiritual habits. My man, talking to him on a daily basis, by getting somebody in your life to hold you accountable, by studying his word and memorizing that so that you're not just consumed with everything the world has to offer, but you'll know what he says. So when you see the good opportunity, you'll seize that and know that it honors God. So you'll get involved. How can I serve? And I can't miss today, man. I got to know what God's going to say to me. And of giving, of course I'll give. You need candy? I got it, man. The church needs something? Absolutely. The community needs something? How can I continue to give? I want to solve problems. This is what he says, like, why wouldn't we do that? Well, one of the reasons we get lazy, selectively lazy. So I know that I get there, and I'm challenging you. Let's work on it. Let's agree. Can I get an amen on that somewhere out there? Come on. Good. Before we go, I got one more for you. I told you I got to cover two today. Slothfulness, laziness. How about gluttony? Oh, Lord, it's Halloween. Y'all know what's going on. You're like, how come you got to do gluttony on Halloween? Well, first off, let me go ahead and just tell you. It is excessive indulgence in anything, okay? So for me, you already know what that is, but Halloween, kids, this is our problem. Are you ready? Look at this picture right here. This is why we got a problem. I can tell you, I still remember my kids on Halloween going through the neighborhood. They'd get all that candy, they put it in the living room and just do like angels, candy angels. Do y'all remember? It's going to happen tonight. People are so excited. They're going to make it happen. But here's the thing. Remember, our kids are learning from us. So now you go, Justin, what do you mean? Well, parents, be careful. Be careful what you're teaching them, because this video went viral and not for the good reason. Watch.
One family knew that they weren't going to be home for Halloween this year, so they left full-size candy bars outside with a note. Help yourself, but be considerate. This is what happened when they caught it all on camera in this video from Viral Hog. Most of the children were surprisingly considerate until a woman who appeared to be a mom came up to the door. In less than 2 days, the video has already been viewed over 2 million times. They write on YouTube that they figured a group of kids would end up taking all the candy, but they weren't expecting this.
Oh, and here's the thing. The reason it went viral is because everybody's like, I can't believe she'd do that. But if we're all honest, come on, man, we kind of do it too. May not be on camera, may not be caught, but it may be something in your life where you try to tell anybody and everybody else, you're not going to tell me what to do. I can do anything I want to do. 1 Corinthians 6:12, you ready for this? Hang on, this one's the tough one. Some of you may say, we can do anything we want to. I can drink as much as I want to drink. I can eat as much as I want to eat. You ain't going to tell me. I can do anything I want to do, but I tell you. that not everything is good for us. Ooh, hold on a second. So I refuse, Paul says, to let anything have power over me. So this is where your preacher gets in trouble. I refuse to have anything have power over me. This is what's got power over me right now. You ready? Show this picture. Go ahead, hit it. Boom! That's my problem. Little Debbie, just come to me. Come. That Swiss cake roll right there, son, that is nutty bars. I dream of a nutty bar. It just comes up on me. Whoa, gets me. Now, some of you are already judging me, like, that's why he's fat. I get it. Well, here's the problem. We go around the office. I'm like, all right, anybody else got a gluttony problem? No, not me, brother. Even the skinny staff here. I don't have a gluttony problem. Well, then I go to Caleb, man, good-looking kid, man, does all the media and everything. And I'm like, yeah, you do. And he's like, no, I don't. I don't really struggle with gluttony. I said, how about tennis? He lives it, eats it, breathes it. He's the captain. He plays all the time, multiple times a week. It just takes him over. And he's like, ooh, yeah, excessive indulgence. I might have a problem. Other people's video games. I won't give anybody away, and this is not anybody in our office, but the rumor was out there that kids today play video games so long and are so involved in it, they don't even get up and go to the bathroom. Some of them wearing diapers. I'm like, no, and they say, yes. Fantasy football, uh-oh. If you got more than two leagues, you're excessively indulged. The reason I say that, because I got two leagues. All right, moving on. If you're watching television too much, come on, it can be television, it can be cars. My brother, it can be cars. You can go through anything and everything. And here's what happens when it starts talking about gluttony. This is where it gets funny on all of us. Me on Little Debbie, you know, Caleb on tennis, somebody else on video games. It could be anything. We do one of two things. One, we try to justify, it's not that bad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's not that bad. Don't make me feel that bad. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. And then we even go to the next level and say, the Bible don't say I can't play tennis. The Bible does not say I cannot eat Little Debbie. You're right. But Romans 6:13, you ready for this? This is tough. Don't offer the parts of your body to serve sin. Yeesh. Offer the parts of your body to God to be used for what? People want to know where doing good came from, where does do good, all this kind of stuff, because in Scripture, it is a lot. So here's the thing that we thought about in our life group. We won't even go into our life group and all our problems. But I can tell you, as we were walking through, I was like, hey, guys, everybody read it. This is where it starts going on. Remember, at the beginning, when you start sinning, man, it takes you to a dark place. It messes you up. So as I joke about it and I also deal with it, it is tough. It is challenging to go, man, I need to work on this. And then here's what we do. Well, it's not that bad, but here's my next question. Is what you're doing, doing good? You go, well, it's not that bad that I have so many cars. It's not that bad that I collect this or that I'm always doing this. Okay, maybe not, but are you doing good with it? Are you honoring God with whatever it is that you're doing? I can tell you it is very hard to eat a box of Nutty Buddies and say that I'm loving God and honoring God. Because usually I'm just like, yeah, this is good. Give me some cold milk. We put our milk in the refrigerator. This could be something else for you. So this is the challenge. Hey, maybe if it's not that bad, but are you really honoring God? 1 Corinthians 6:19, you ready? Haven't you yet learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit that God gave you? And that he lives within you? See, this is the thing. What he's basically trying to say is everything that we have right here. We don't have a church building anymore. You already know that in the simple church, right? We don't own this building. We don't want to be, you know, owning any buildings, really, other than an office, the only building we own. And people go, man, it's so odd. It's so weird. But here's the reason why. In the New Testament, Jesus said, guess what? Where do I reside? Right here. So it matters what you do. It matters what you spend your time with. It matters how you live your life. It matters what you take in. It matters how you treat others. All of these things are going on. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I get it. Okay, I get it. So then what we do is we go, okay, well, it's not that bad. I'm maybe working on it. Here's the second thing we do. Man, I'm guilty of this too. We compare ourselves to somebody else. Well, I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as her. So what does Galatians say? We've talked about this before, but don't compare yourselves with other people. Why? Because it either lends an envy or pride. Somebody's going to have more than you, or you're going to feel like I'm better than them. And I'm going to give you proof of that. Here's a little old school fill in the blank. If you grew up in church, you're going to already know this. If you didn't grow up in church, you're like, I think I've heard this before, but just be careful. Don't say it out loud. Just hang tight with me. All right? A little fill in the blank. Sodom's sins were What do you think that blank would be? Don't say it out loud. Just think it in your mind. You're like, I don't want to think that in my mind. I don't want to think it. No, but just you have a mind of where you think, well, that's their sin. I know what their sin is. But I'm going to remind you and I'm going to blow your mind. Because here's the rest of the verse. Pride, gluttony, and laziness. While the poor suffered right outside of where they were. If you grew up in church, some of you are like, Sodom and Gomorrah, I remember what their sin is. Dead to them all. We kill them all. This is the way it is. That's why God wiped them out. No, let's go ahead and make sure you rewind the tape. Let's make sure you see the whole picture, and let's make sure you read the whole scripture. Because guess what? If we were talking about wiping people out for their sin, everybody in this room might be gone, including me. So this is why it's so heavy. And then he adds the next part of why is Simple Church so involved in trying to help people? And why is Simple Church so involved with trying to solve food problems and water problems? Because I think it matters, Old Testament and New Testament. So here's the better approach. You ready? Ephesians chapter 4. You ready? This is the challenge for us. Be humble and gentle. And you think about it, when you grew up in church, when someone was getting sin talk, man, it's usually like, you're a sinner, and you're going to hell, and you're going to, oh, and they came down on them. It was the whole, what did they say, fire, brimstone, we're going to beat you into submission because you ain't listening. And then you look in Ephesians, and you go, wait a second. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make an allowance for each other's faults. Why? Because of your love. My yeesh, Lord, I got a lot of people that I get mad at, and I'd like to smite and get them in line. And he's like, no, this is what I'm calling you to. This is the challenge for all of us. Why? Because you have sin and I have sin. And although gluttony may not be your sin, although I would argue that we all have gluttonous issues, and sloth may not be your sin, I would also argue, no, we probably all struggle. It could be anger, it could be pride, it could be envy. And here's the thing. That's why you're kind to other people. That's why you're gentle with other people, because you're going, man, I know what I need help on. And why in the world would I be mad at you or judge you or be ugly to you? And the truth is I've got to be full of love and I've got to be patient with you and I got to make allowance for your fault because, man, I have my own. You already know this. The fact is every one of us are sinners, right? Romans 3:23 tells us that. Every one of us all have sinned. None of us in here have gotten it right. So if you're feeling pretty good, like, man, this wasn't mine today. Yeah, it may not be yours, but we got something in there. None of us are good enough to experience God's greatness. Not going to happen. That's Romans 3:23. But then the next, and here's the thing. In that whole decision of understanding, all right, God, I know I'm a sinner, then you feel like you're separated. You feel like, oh, my God, I could never be good enough, and all the shame comes in and the guilt comes in. But here's the great news. We also need love, and God knew that. So we all need, not to just know that we're sinners, because I think we all can agree with that. Most people, I've only had one guy told you this. It was a church guy. And he told me, I don't sin. I don't ever struggle with sin. The irony was, he was a really bad sinner. And it eventually came out. And it was not pretty. I've never had anybody other than him look at me and go, I don't struggle with sin. That's not my problem. Most people go, no, I get it. But what they don't realize is this other part, 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. See, this is the thing. Man, we're in sin, but why is it so important? It's because God is love. God has shown us love. Jesus demonstrated it. But then he calls us to do the same in a world full of sin, not to be ugly and mean, but to go, man, how can I show you love? How can I be kind to you? How can I make allowance for your faults? Because the fact is, I think you'll agree, we all need grace, don't we? I mean, if you start thinking about your sin list, you start thinking about where you're messing up, don't we all need grace? Romans 3:24, yet God, in his grace, freely makes you and I right. How? Through Jesus. Not through something you did or something I do, because here's the thing, you can't earn it. You can't do enough good to be in right standing with God. So what do you have to do? You have to get to the place where you go, man, all right, this whole seven deadly sins, I'm guilty on five so far. I'm 5 for 5. So all I can do is say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I need you to forgive me. I need your love. I need your acceptance. I need your grace, and I need Jesus. And as a result, when you grow up in church and you didn't understand it, so many people get hung up because they think the church, which we're supposed to represent Jesus, But many times, just like it was back in Jesus' time, it's so judgmental and condescending and divisive that you get turned away. And the enemy knows it. So here's the challenge. You got a chance. I got a chance to be what he wants us to be. Full of love and grace and love and forgiveness and second chances and patience and humility. So this is my whole challenge to you. Let it start with us, man. Let's try to be different. Whether you're in school tomorrow, whether you're at the workplace, whether you're in the world, wherever it may be, let's be like Jesus. Now you go, Justin, what am I supposed to start with? Here it is. You ready? I'm almost done. You're fixing to go in there and play, but I got to give you this one. Justin, give me some advice. How do I start today? You ready? Start with a plan that pushes you, but that don't punish you. It's like when you're working out. Some people go, man, I'm going to go work out. Y'all know I ain't done that, but there's people that go out there and work out. They go in there and push themselves so hard, they burn out, they tear their muscles up, they get sore, and they never go back. So what I'm challenging you is start small. If you've never had a time with God, why don't you start going, man, I'm going to try to spend 1 minute when I wake up in the morning before I do anything else and just talk to him. Man, I'm going to try to serve today. Man, I got an opportunity. I walk through these doors and I can see Christy and say, I want to start serving in the church. I'm going to give once a month. Maybe you start small just so you can get involved. Man, I'm going to start giving just a little bit. Man, not a lot, but just a little bit. Go to the app, download the app, and say, man, this is my starting point. I'm just going to start somewhere so that you don't feel punished, but you just begin to be pushed a little bit. Number two, stop being surprised when discipline and work are uncomfortable. And this is the one that I really struggle with. It's like we all of a sudden think that, okay, man, I'm really going to start doing this, and then we're surprised it's harder than we thought. Why is it so hard to do the right thing? Why is it so hard to really honor God? Why is it so hard to start giving? Or why is it so hard to start serving? Why is it so hard to get up early and spend a little time with God? Because this is the thing. Anything that's worth anything is a little uncomfortable. And when you start really working at something, you begin to understand that that uncomfort really is a part of what God's doing to change us to be like him. And the last time I checked, physical labor hurts and giving isn't easy. But there's always a reward. There's something special. So I found one more video to give you before we walk out of here. About physical labor, about working for other people, about giving to the place that you go, man, it's not about me at all. And when you see that in the real world, I promise you it's going to put a smile on your face and you're going to be encouraged and go, okay, I got some work to do. Here is a real life example of what it looks like to work hard to give for something bigger than yourself. Watch.
This is it.
Cy Lindbergh wasn't sure he'd ever pack up for the drive to Snow College.
The college was stressful because I was always thinking, like, how am I going to make up the money to go?
Cy was just 5 years old when his father was sent to prison. Even the cost of an in-state school seemed out of reach.
Mom comes in, she goes, you got the scholarship. And I was like, I can go to college.
The philanthropist behind Cy's scholarship was Carl Winsness.
Most of the time you think of philanthropists, you know what I mean? Rockefellers, the people with big money.
Carl is a plumber in Salt Lake City, and for the last 5 years, the source of one of the country's only scholarships for kids with incarcerated parents.
These kids haven't done anything wrong.
He solicits donations with homemade flyers, but mostly the money has come out of his own $30,000 salary.
I don't smoke, I don't drink from Starbucks, I don't have HBO. So, I mean, I don't waste a lot of money on that stuff. What's $1,000?
$1,000 is the amount of most of the 17 Willie the Plumber scholarships Carl has given to Utah students. And if that doesn't sound like a lot, you've never been where Macy Nielsen was.
$1,000 was a huge deal.
Her application essay explained her dad and mom were sent to jail.
I never got to give my parents a hug or have them tuck me in.
Leaving her grandparents to raise her.
I moved in when I was 5.
Okay, so this was pretty much home.
Yeah.
But in truth, the money is only part of the prize for a kid like Macy.
You get really down on yourself. People judge you and you just feel like you can't do anything. And all of a sudden you have this random stranger who believes in you and knows that you're not who your parents are and that you do have a chance.
Carl knows what it means for a parent to be absent. He shot an intruder who turned out to be a police officer and served 17 years, unable to support his own two daughters.
Do you feel like you're making up for what happened earlier in your life?
Sure. It's nice to be able to give back or correct wrongs. Maybe I fall to part of the healing process.
Carl says the money he sends to kids like Cy helps ease the anger of all those wasted years.
You know, I'm very grateful for this opportunity to go.
Brooke Silva Braga for CBS News, Salem, Utah.
Come on, y'all. Do you need a better example? I'm like, it's not even Steve Hartman, but it's still a powerful example. And guess what? It's not too late for us. It's not too late for you. You're not done. And who knows, man? What if just a little bit of your giving could change a kid's life? By you serving on one Sunday a month or twice a month, that a kid comes back and says, man, I'll never forget that adult that invested in me, that cared for me, that taught me. What if your little bit of giving could turn around and it could change a kid's life in Shreveport through not just a bag of candy, but maybe like we've done before, where we help kids get new shoes, or like we're going to do this Christmas, where a kid gets a bike. And guess what? You can be a part of it. And this is my last statement I'm going to pray for. Is she ready? The pain of discipline is far less pain than the pain of regret. Some of you hadn't really disciplined yourself to go, man, I need to spend more time doing this. I need to spend more time being a part of that. I need to serve God. I need to love on these people. I need to be involved. I need to take that step. And here's the thing. There is some pain in that discipline. We had people getting up this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning to set all this stuff up. But just think about it. When you're doing all that serving and giving, I don't want to live a life of regret. And what good is it to have a bunch of stuff or a bunch of money in the account or a bunch of stuff in the garage, but yet when you look at your life and you reflect on what it was all about the excessive indulgence. It was all about being selectively lazy. I'm going to do what I want to do, but forget everybody else. I've done enough for everybody else. And how does it look and how does it feel? And where does it end? As we said at the beginning of this series, it's always a tough place to be when we live in a place of sin. But thank you, Jesus, that there is freedom for sin. And it's available to us today. We can grab a hold of this day and make a huge difference. And guess what? Our kids are learning from us. Our grandkids are watching us as well. Who knows? Even the community's watching. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for everybody that came today. I thank you for those watching online. I thank you, God, that I am a sinner. I know that sounds weird, but I'm thankful that I am reminded of how short I come. And I'm thankful that in me recognizing my shortcomings and how I mess up, God, that you provided a way for me to have grace. You provided a way for me to have a fresh start, a new beginning. It's not about being perfect. It's not about getting it right all the time. It's about pursuing you and trusting you to do what I cannot do. You solved a problem that I could not solve. My sin separated me from you, but God, you came, died on that cross, shed your blood so that I could have forgiveness and a fresh start. And then as a result, God, you told me that when I make that commitment to you, it's not just a one-time prayer. It's not just getting baptized as a kid. It's a daily decision to work on that relationship with you. And as I work on that relationship with you, you will always challenge me to make it right with people. And I pray, God, that that's what you'll give us the courage and the strength to do, to be patient, to be full of love, to not be judgmental, to recognize that only thing that really makes us different from anybody else is the fact that, God, you have chosen to love us. And we receive that free gift. Help us, God, to be like you, to reflect you to this world that desperately needs it. And help us, God, to be disciplined in the things that matter most. Loving you, loving other people, and solving problems. We love you and we thank you. God, if there's someone that's never given their life, I pray today they'd say, Jesus, I need it. Come into my life. Change me. Forgive me. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. And God, you promised to meet them right where they're at. Thank you, Jesus, for making it simple. You made it simple for us. God, help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on, Tom. You can check the clock, man. 11:02. So if you want to go back and have a great laugh today, let me tell you something. Go back and watch the pre-show. Totally embarrassing, but a lot of fun. Also, if you want to have fun today, go get your kids upstairs and go next door because they're going to have a blast, man. They got all kind of fun things. Until next week, what do we say? Peace. That's embarrassing. Get out of here.